And thank you, Daniel. Appreciate you adding that context to it. So I was at the opening for one of Daniel's schools in Phoenix, and Daniel gave me the honor with him to do a onstage interview with Mike Tyson. And that was like 3 weeks ago or so. And we just got the video footage of that this morning. We're going to release it on our YouTube, the podcast. And Mike's answers were amazing. They're much more not only comical, but insightful than expected. Not that I had low expectations, but it was great. So we're looking forward to share that with you. And one other thing is that I think that many times in the business world, people are looking for that big bang moment. And Gary Vaynerchuk talks about focusing on something you're high conviction in, but not chasing the herd, because you won't be in the right position for a big bang moment if you're already chasing 1,000 people that have seen the big bang already go off. You won't be in Ed Conner's. You have to have conviction, like Peter Thiel says, to look at what you have high conviction in, but others don't think is true yet, and then position yourself and have the courage to do that as an entrepreneur, even when people around you don't think it's possible. Did you notice what happened when I said, hey, if anyone knows these billionaires, shoot them a text message, say to interview me? Like literally 10 people laughed. But last time I said it, we got the interview done with Tony Robbins. And that's the type of stuff you have to do, things that maybe other people don't see as realistic, right? In position before it's obvious to other people. So I'm going to go through some closing remarks. I'll be quick because I know it's been a relatively long day. Hopefully it's been an enjoyable day and a bunch of diverse opinions and things you didn't expect to get here over time, over the whole day. So this person needs no introduction, but he's known for extreme focus, right? After winning one of the championships, he was practicing at 5:30 in the morning the next morning, and an MVP showed up who was a rookie at 7 a.m. And he said, oh, Michael, what are you doing here? And he said, well, a better question is, where were you 2 hours ago, right? So that's extreme focus, and it's something that I can't say is a massive strength of mine, so I'm trying to work on it. So partially, I'm selfishly studying the billionaires for my own benefit, but just sharing because you guys aren't competing directly against me. I'm not competing directly against you. So I'm going to share this talk on extreme focus. Another reminder, if you missed this earlier this morning, anyone you meet at any event for the rest of your life, make sure you do your own due diligence. Doesn't matter if they're a sponsor or if they are on a panel or whatnot. Obviously, you work hard to make your money, so make sure you're careful in keeping it. First of all, extreme focus is not normal. Keith Cunningham has a book called The Road Less Stupid, and the number one insight I got from that book is to sit in a quiet room with a pad of paper and ask yourself the same question for an hour, or come up with 20 answers to the same question, and just be very thoughtful. Because while the rest of the world is running around on social media and on their phones and doing 20 things at once, they're not very thoughtful or strategic many times. So that's something I picked up. Each morning, I read this laminated one-pager with my monthly, annual, and quarterly goals. And then I have got about 40 one-liner statements. If I learn something from someone like Ed Conner, I put it down. And when I'm shaving, I read this over. So I start my day knowing what my priorities are. So when I go out in the world, it's like a shield against all the things that could distract me. And one thing I've been starting to do is watch a little YouTube short from Goggins in the morning that's like a minute or two long. And one of them recently I sent to a few friends, and he said, yeah, sometimes I get up and I don't feel like working out. I don't feel like doing the stuff I need to do. And I think to myself, okay, I'm just not going to do it. Is it, yeah, okay, I'll just be normal. I'll just be like an average person that doesn't reach their potential, doesn't know what they're capable of. And then he swears and says in a more harsh way, like, no, screw that. I'm not going to do that. Like, yeah, I don't want to be normal. I don't think anyone here in the room wants to be normal. You want to be like Ed Conner's, right? You want to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You want to be like Kevin Harrington on Shark Tank tomorrow, or some version of that that's true to your own DNA, right? And it's authentic to yourself. So the goal is not to be normal. And if you want everyone to like you, sell ice cream. Someone will still complain about your ice cream, but more people will like you, right? So it can't be the number one priority in life. Peter Thiel is the one I got this title from. He says that extreme focus is a superpower. It's one of the most important skills you can possibly have. And he's made billion dollars plus over and over again, starting, I believe, with PayPal. Steve Jobs defines focus as not just having your priorities in order, but having something that you know could make you a lot of money, help a lot of people, and be something that is amazing. You're totally capable of doing it and say no to it. So one of the one-liners that I read to myself every morning is to say no to things that would for sure make us money, because it's counterintuitive that you should do that, but you have to do that if you want to have extreme focus. You have to say no to a lot of good things. Like Jim Collins says, you know, good is the enemy of great, right? Otherwise, you're compromising, and you're doing a bunch of mediocre things that don't move the needle. And that's very hard to do. I've talked about Arnold's documentary on Netflix. It's amazing. It's pure gold. You have to watch it. I've also been reading Arnold's book to my kids every night. When I see a swear word coming up, skip over that word. But we read about 5 to 10 pages, and they look forward to it at nighttime. And the very opening line of this documentary is that he's always had a special ability to visualize something very clearly in his mind and then just work very, very hard until it became true. And when he moved, when he became Mr. Olympia, and then he wanted to become an actor, he didn't accept a supporting role or a character role. He said, forget that. I'm going for the lead role. And he turned all those down. He didn't work his way up the ladder. He aimed for exactly what he wanted. He was laser focused on that and worked very hard until that vision became reality. I shared this quote earlier this morning. If you have your focus on something that you're really passionate about, then you just need to outwork and outlearn everybody else who's maybe fighting for that sandbox. And that's going to massively increase your chance of success because other people won't be as focused, or they might be fat and happy and they already are successful, so they're not as hungry. They're maybe not as passionate or hardworking. Joe did something unique, created the largest real estate brokerage in the world. He's an example of someone who's pulled that off. To get this done, you have to cut out toxins, distractions, energy vampires, bad partners, things that are stressful, you know, from your life as quickly as possible. And for me, something that helped is having a media fast. So for a year and a half, I listened to Brian Tracy book summaries, 12 books that were summarized. And every morning on my commute for an hour and a half on the subway system in Boston, I'd listen to these summary chapters of these 13 Brian Tracy books, and I can recite some of them to this day. I then read every book ever written by Dan Sullivan, every podcast episode he ever put out, and didn't consume content from any other author or podcaster during that time, and then paid for his highest level coaching to spend time with him one-on-one. And now, as you've heard 20 times, you know, I'm trying to interview these 100 billionaires and read the 240 billionaire books before I read others. Ogilvy was named one of the top 100 most influential people in the world by Time Magazine. And he obsessed over reading everything in his industry. And he would go to pitch clients like American Airlines at age 31. And he'd say, I know what the client's going to say, is going to pitch you next. Here's what they're going to say. Here's why my ideas are much better. And I've studied all my competition. Ask if they've read anything I've put out. Ask if they know my strategies. Their answer will be no. And I've done my homework. And if you hire me, you're going to get great results with my direct response marketing. And that's how I became one of the most influential people of a century, according to Time Magazine. Mark Cuban says that when he works in a computer shop, no one read the computer manuals, not the customer, not the owner of the computer shop. And a light bulb went off. They're like, oh, it's not that hard to do well because most people don't want to put in the work. They don't want to read the fine print. They don't want to read the details. And it's one of the top five commonalities among billionaires is that they're voracious readers, learners, absorbers of knowledge, et cetera. And they're very hungry. They're always taking in more information, more strategies, more skills, et cetera. And Warren Buffett talks about that. David Rubenstein, founder of Carlyle, read some of his books recently. His goal is to read 300 books this year, and he's 74, I think it is. So if he has that much energy, I would guess that you could read 30 books or 100 books, and I tell that to myself, et cetera. So we had Hoffman on stage earlier today. He talked about having sticky notes on his mirror the last time he talked at our event and how that reminded him every day of what he wanted to get done. I showed you the one pager here. So one thing you have to ask yourself if you want extreme focus is what Cuban said in a recent interview I saw on LinkedIn. He said, every morning you have to ask, what's the best use of my time today? Not what other obligations am I dragged into, et cetera. And one thing I read to myself every morning is I don't go to any meetings I don't want to go to. And I don't do anything that's linear, only exponential. And for me, that's helpful. And only doing what's exciting means you don't do boring things you know is a waste of your time because your gut's telling you, like, this is going to be a bad partnership. This is just going to be a pain, right? And I see Joe Williams shaking his head over there. I'm sure he's had more than one or two partners or employees that had to go on their way over the time. So outwork and outlearn. Defend your time because it's your most valuable asset. Only go to meetings as much as you can that have agendas to them and set meeting times for 15 minutes and not 30 or 60 minutes. If you don't know what the meeting's going to be about, then don't take the meeting yet. Some people will say, oh, I can only say it over the phone. It's like, okay, well, then it's just, you know, politely a pass. You have to find a polite way to say, okay, well, then we just pass on that. We can't vet deals verbally with the hundreds of people trying to show us a deal or opportunity. What I find is that if you cover a meeting in email first, the phone call lasts 5 to 12 minutes. Some of my most valuable phone calls of the year last 8 to 12 minutes. Because most of it, you can lay out over email, go through the agenda and say, hey, I agree with everything. Let's just talk about point number 5. That's the only thing that could be a little tricky. Let's talk about that non-compete, or let's talk about this or that. It just speeds everything up. And what I find is that most people are binary. They're like, emails or phone calls. And a lot of people over age 50 just love, love, love phone calls or meetings and don't want to write long emails because they're finger peckers or just prefer the natural connection of a phone call, which is fine. But what I find is that not many people use audio messages, and we're obsessed with those. So you can listen to an audio message at 1.5 or 2x. You can listen to it two or three times if you want to. You can give a thoughtful response after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half a day, an hour. Tell someone, I need some time to think that over. Let me get back to you. And it doesn't matter who you are. You're much, much smarter and effective if you have time to think about a response versus live on the phone trying to respond in real time. And then you can have these asynchronous conversations in between different meetings and things. So it seems so simple. But most people I know do not use audio messages, and 90% of meetings could probably be done via email. And you take that 10% that are left that people think have to be done on the phone, and 90% of those can be done over an audio message, and much more effective, intelligent conversation going back and forth. And then there's a place for meeting in person. It's nothing better than that for growing a relationship, of course. Some examples of extreme focus, things that deserve extreme focus are things that are very hard to do. For you, it's going to be completely different than it is for me. So for you, it might be raising $100 million. It might be getting your first three deals done. It might be meeting a personal goal. It might be meeting a health goal. It might be putting out 365 episodes on a podcast in 1 year and doing a daily podcast on an airline company or on whatever your niche is, right? One of our goals is to get to 100 million social media followers. Another goal is to interview the 100 billionaires, for example. That's not easy to do. You have to have extreme focus to do it. So if you have something that's that exciting, then it's more motivating and it's more worth the focus. And so my question to you is, what are one to three goals that deserve your extreme focus? And what could you get done that would inevitably change everything? My mentor, Evan Pagan, always taught me, if there's one domino you could knock over, and if that one thing gets done, then it would change everything in your business. Everything would go better if you can get that one thing done. And then that might be something that's worth extreme focus. So my other question to you is, what does your one pager look like? How do you want to brainwash yourself every morning? What's important to you? Is it to spend an hour with your kids every single day? Is it to know what your daughter's favorite song is, like Hoffman was talking about? Is it to get in the best health of your life, like Ken Newman was talking about, and investing in your health? Or is it all financial driven? That's totally up to you. You know, no one else needs to know what's on your one pager. So we talked about this strategy at the Super Summit. It's basically trying a whole bunch of combinations of actions till something works. That takes extreme focus. This slide was missing two books I noticed this morning, so I fixed it. Built Not Born was missing. How to Invest by David Rubenstein, the top right-hand corner, was missing. And I'm just finishing Hoffman's book called Scale, in case you missed that recommendation earlier today. Here's the QR code again for the 240 books. I think most of you got that this morning. And that's it. So we can enjoy networking, cocktails. Tomorrow we have another 30 investors on stage. We have discussion panels. We have a Centimillionaire Fireside Chat with Kevin Harrington, who created the As Seen on TV brand. He was on year one of Shark Tank. He's done over 200 deals. And we're going to interview him about what it means to be a high-velocity entrepreneur. We're also going to have pro athletes on stage tomorrow. Daniel's going to be moderating that panel. And it's going to be fast-paced, fun investor event. So I hope you enjoyed the content today. Enjoy the networking. We'll see you at 10 a.m. sharp tomorrow. We're going to start right at 10 a.m. So please be in here 5 or 10 minutes before that break. And then any notes on the cocktails or anything, Andres, that I should be noting? Or are we all good? So everyone network out that way. Enjoy the networking. And we'll see you in the morning tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you.